Thank you, Bishu, and Sai Ram to all listeners of Radio Sai. This is Prem from Team Radio Sai, welcoming you to yet another episode of Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam. As always, I am having the pleasure of the company of Brother Sai Prakash from Team Radio Sai, and I am also having with us a senior member of Radio Sai, Suresh Rao Sai, with us. Dear listeners, if you are following our series, we have been studying the discourses that were part of the 1990 summer course series. We have completed 7 discourses in that series. The last one was about the mind, and we are in the threshold of the 8th discourse, and this discourse is about buddhi. But before that, let me join you all in welcoming Brother Sai Prakash and Suresh Rao sir to the program. Charam Sai Prakash.
Thank you, Prem.
So we have more or less, at least by syllabus, completed the mind. We don't know how much of the control of the senses and control of the mind we have mastered, but at least, as it always happens in a course, you know, what is done in syllabus is at least done.
That's true, because this series especially is really like a syllabus, you know, like a class syllabus, and it looks like life itself is the exam. You know, this is a constant, continuous exam going on. And Swami is dealing with the syllabus, and the exam is going on even while the syllabus is being completed.
Right. And you know, this buddhi, very interesting, because we have, when we spoke about the mind, we said that how that is one of the most distinguishing factors between animal life and human life.
True.
And even talking about the mind, it was established that even animals have mind, and in fact even plant life is said to have some sensory, extrasensory perceptions now.
True.
So if there is something which is actually that line which draws a difference between animal and man, I think it's buddhi.
Very true.
And that's why
very
we are the discriminating intellect.
Exactly.
Right.
I mean, thinking of buddhi, just offhand, if you think of buddhi, what all can you recollect about buddhi? I mean, it has no physical presence, like the mind. Okay, at least the mind has a counterpart of the brain, if you think of it in a particular way. And I believe there are chemicals and there are reactions in your brain that trigger off when you are thinking of something. Possibly the chitta aspect of your mind is, you know, activated. But talk of buddhi, there's absolutely no physical counterpart. What do you? I think now we are really going into the subtler and subtler
absolutely,
levels of.
Yeah, actually, in the earlier discourse, Swami says mind itself is a mono actor. Mm-hmm. It takes the place of buddhi, chitta, ahankara in different modes. You know?
Correct, correct.
And when it is discerning and discriminating right and wrong and things like that. That is the buddhi part of the antakarana.
So correct. It's correct. As we learnt from previous discourse, the mind can be divided into 4 aspects.
Right.
Manas, buddhi, chitta and ahankara.
You know, sometime last week when we were talking about Dashara, one of our colleagues shared with me a very profound thought. Why do we have this practice of worshipping fire and offering things into fire?
Okay.
You know, there are 5 elements.
Mm-hmm.
And you have earth, you have water, mm-hmm, fire,
air
and ether.
Yes.
Okay. He was saying that these can be divided into gross and subtle.
Okay.
Okay. Among the gross, mm-hmm, the subtlest among the gross is, mm-hmm, fire.
Okay.
It can be seen, but yet it doesn't have a form.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't even have the physical nature of water.
Mm.
So it is the subtlest among the gross.
Mm-hmm.
And the grossest among the subtle.
Okay, it's like the threshold.
It's right in the middle, and
yeah,
that is why they say that it can act as a communication between the gross world and the subtle world.
Beautiful, beautiful.
And you know, actually the buddhi is just that, you know,
mm-hmm,
that which is right in the cusp of that which is absolutely subtle and that which is gross.
Gross.
As you're saying,
true,
that you know, we can draw brain as a parallel, physical parallel to the mind.
Mm-hmm.
But then in that mind, the subtle thing is ahankara and buddhi. But ahankara is again debatable. You know, there are cultures which say that it is there, it is not there. But buddhi is something, discrimination is something which is inbuilt in every culture and in every upbringing. You know, I think there is a term in Western philosophy called nous.
Okay.
Which is supposed to be a similar concept like buddhi.
Mm. Buddhi is translated as intellect, right?
Yeah, in fact, Swami says there are two types of buddhi. One is the worldly intellect. That doesn't take you to the spiritual realm. Other is the discriminative faculty or viveka. That is the higher buddhi.
Right.
That is what is required for spiritual upliftment. You know? So worldly knowledge and worldly intellect is good in the life of dualities. But for spiritual upliftment, that buddhi has to be transmuted into viveka, which leads to vairagya and other higher, nobler.
Yeah, I think, I mean, the way I'm looking at it is, I feel it is the same thing, but when it goes into, it goes deeper, I think it goes into that viveka which you talk of, because buddhi, what it's basically supposed to do is supposed to discriminate between good and bad, harmful and safe.
Whereas viveka is discriminating between the temporary and the permanent.
Right. So I think the same discrimination, if it goes deeper, it will actually lead to that which is temporary and that which is permanent. When you say that, you know, this is going to give me happiness in short term and this is going to give me happiness in long term. When you bring in that deeper thought, I think that buddhi automatically gets translated into viveka or the higher...
That's true. Let's see what Swami has got to say about buddhi.
And things, but
the title of this chapter is Buddhi the Charioteer.
Right. We had holding the reins as the first discourse on the mind.
Yes. And this is in tune with the classic example given by Katopanishad, where the horses are the senses and the reins is the mind. And the charioteer is buddhi.
Right.
And the chariot itself is the body.
Is the body.
Yeah, okay.
And Atma is the rider.
Atma is the rider, yeah. So, let us go on with the first clip.
We'll listen to the first clip, which is about 9 minutes, and then we'll speak about it.
Manasu nirmalam manchiki margam మనసు నిర్మలందు మంచికి మార్గందు మనసు నిర్మలందు మహిత శక్తి నిర్బలంపు మనసే నీరది ముత్యమౌ నిర్మలంపు మనసే నిరది ముత్యమౌ మరచిపోకుడిటి మంచి మాట మరచిపోకుడిటి మంచి మాట మరచిపోకుడు మరచిపోకుడిటి మంచి మాట.
ప్యూర్ హార్ట్ shows path to goodness. Pure heart confers extraordinary power on earth. The pure heart alone is very important. Do not forget this good word.
Chedda chudaradu చెప్పరాదెప్పుడు వినగరాదెప్పుడు విశ్వమందు చెడ్డ చూడరాదు చెప్పరాదెప్పుడు వినగరాదెప్పుడు విశ్వమందు మూడు కోతులు గల మూర్తిని మూడు కోతులు గల మూర్తిని మదిదలచు ఉన్న మాట తెలుపుచున్న మాట మూడు కోతులు గల మూర్తిని మది నిలుపు ఉన్న మాట తెలుపుచున్న మాట.
Do not see evil. Do not talk evil. Do not hear evil at any time in the world. Establish in your heart the statue of those three monkeys which give you this lesson. This is a matter of fact which I am telling you.
Vidyarthulara,
dear students,
Upanishad Vakyanusaramu శరీరము రథమనియు ఇంద్రియములు గుర్రమనియు మనసు పగ్గమనియు మనం గుర్తించుకున్నాం.
అకార్డింగ్ టు ది డిక్లరేషన్స్ ఆఫ్ ది ఉపనిషత్ వి హావ్ రికగ్నైజ్డ్ దట్ ఫిజికల్ బాడీ ఈజ్ లైక్ చారియట్ అండ్ సెన్సెస్ ఆర్ హార్సెస్ మైండ్ ఈజ్ ద రోప్.
శరీర ఇంద్రియ మనస్సు యొక్క తత్వము కేవలము ఒక నిరుపయోగమైనటువంటివి.
ది ప్రిన్సిపల్ అసోసియేటెడ్ ఆర్ ద బేసిస్ ఆఫ్ ది ఫిజికల్ బాడీ ది సెన్సెస్ అండ్ ద మైండ్ ఈజ్ బై ఇట్ సెల్ఫ్ యూజ్లెస్.
గుర్రములు ఎంత భద్రమైనవైనప్పటికీ పగ్గములు ఎంత విగువైనవైనప్పటికీ రథము చాలా అందచందములతో కూడినప్పటికీ సారథియే లేకుండినా ఈ రథము ఈ పగ్గములు ఈ యొక్క గుర్రములు కూడాను నిరుపయోగమే.
ది చారియట్ ఆఫ్ ది బాడీ మే బి ఎక్సలెంట్ ద హార్సెస్ మే బి ఇన్ ట్రిమ్ కండిషన్ అండ్ ద రోప్ మే ఆల్సో బి వెరీ స్ట్రాంగ్ అండ్ స్టర్డీ బట్ ఇఫ్ దెర్ ఇస్ నో చారియట్ హియర్ ఆల్ దిస్ ఆర్ యూజ్లెస్.
కనుక జీవిత యాత్రలో బుద్ధి అత్యంత ప్రధానమైనటువంటిది.
దేర్ఫోర్ ఇన్ ది జర్నీ ఆఫ్ లైఫ్ ఇంటెలిజెన్స్ ఈజ్ ఎ వెరీ ఇంపార్టెంట్ ఇన్స్ట్రుమెంట్.
నిశ్చయాత్మక బుద్ధి అన్నారు, ఇది నిశ్చయాత్మకమైనటువంటిది.
దిస్ ఈజ్ ద వన్ విచ్ టీచర్స్ స్టడీనెస్.
జీవితంలో అనేక సమస్యలు అనేక విధమైనటువంటి చిక్కులు అలజడలు చెలరేగుతుంటాయి.
వన్ ఫేసెస్ ఇన్ లైఫ్ ఏ నంబర్ ఆఫ్ ప్రాబ్లమ్స్ ఏ నంబర్ ఆఫ్ డిఫికల్టీస్ అండ్ ఏ నంబర్ ఆఫ్ డిఫికల్ట్ సిచ్యుయేషన్స్.
అయితే ఈ సమస్యలను పరిహారం గావించుకోవటం ప్రతి మానవునికి ప్రధాన కర్తవ్యం.
ఇట్ ఈస్ ది డ్యూటీ ఆఫ్ ఎవ్రీ మ్యాన్ టు సాల్వ్ దీస్ ప్రాబ్లమ్స్.
అయితే ఈ యొక్క పరిహారమునకు ఏది ప్రధానమైన సూత్రము?
వాట్ ఈజ్ ఇట్ దట్ కెన్ హెల్ప్ యూ టు ప్రొవైడ్ ఎ సొల్యూషన్ ఫర్ ది ప్రాబ్లమ్స్?
బుద్ధియే.
దాట్ ఈజ్ ఇంటెలిజెన్స్.
బుద్ధి యొక్క ప్రవేశము లేక మన యొక్క సమస్యలు కాని మన యొక్క సంబంధమైన చిక్కులు కాని తీరుటకు వీలు కాదు.
వితౌట్ ఇంటెలిజెన్స్ ప్లేయింగ్ ఇట్స్ ఓన్ రోల్ ఇట్ ఈస్ ఇంపాసిబుల్ ఫర్ అస్ టు సాల్వ్ any problems of life.
Samshayatma vinashyati. Samshayam yokka nirmoolam gaavinchinatvanti buddhi kanukane buddhi grahyam atindriyam annaru. Indriyamulaku atheetamainatvanti kanuka idi samshayatmakamainatvanti oka swaroopam.
As intelligence transcends the senses, it is that which can help in deciding and solving the problems.
Bhagavad Gita తన యొక్క ప్రవాహమునకు రెండు హద్దులను ఏర్పరచుకున్నది.
దెర్ ఆర్ టూ బండ్స్ ప్రిస్క్రైబ్డ్ బై భగవద్గీత ఫార్ ఇట్స్ ఫ్లో.
ఈ హద్దులే లేకుండినా ఈ జీవిత ప్రవాహం అనేటువంటిది కేవలము అనేక విధములైనటువంటి యొక్క చిక్కులకు బాధలకు అపాయములకు గురి అవుతుంది.
ఇఫ్ ది ఫ్లో ఆఫ్ లైఫ్ డస్ నాట్ హ్యావ్ దీస్ టూ బండ్స్ ఆర్ టూ బ్యాంక్స్ then it faces innumerable dangers and problems.
Oka vaipuna astachari mantramu maroka vaipuna astachari mantramu ee rendu mantramulu anetvanti gattu naduma ee jeevitham anetvanti pravaham pravahinchina sukha shanti ainetvanti yokka anugraha sagaramu cheragalavu ani deeni yokka antarattham.
The inner meaning of it is that on either side of this flow there is a 8-lettered mantra on both the sides, and within this, if it, the life flows, it can reach the goal of grace and enjoy it.
Oka vaipuna శ్రద్ధావాన్ లభతే గానం. ఇది 8 అక్షరముల యొక్క మంత్రం.
దిస్ 8 లెటర్డ్ మంత్ర వన్ సచ్ ఇస్ శ్రద్ధావాన్ లభతే జ్ఞానం.
మరొక వైపున సంశయాత్మ వినశ్యతే, ఇది అష్టాక్షర మంత్రం.
ది అదర్ సైడ్ ఇస్ సంశయాత్మ వినశ్యతే 8 లెటర్డ్ మంత్ర.
ఒకవైపున శ్రద్ధ, ఒకవైపున నిస్సంశయము ఉండినప్పుడే మానవ జీవితము గమ్యమును చేరగలదు.
హ్యూమన్ లైఫ్ కెన్ రీచ్ ఇట్స్ గోల్ ఓన్లీ వెన్ ఆన్ వన్ సైడ్ ఇట్ హ్యాస్ శ్రద్ధ ఇంట్రెస్ట్, ఆన్ ది అదర్ సైడ్ ఫ్రీడమ్ ఫ్రమ్ డౌట్స్.
కనుక మానవునకు శ్రద్ధ నిస్సంశయము అత్యవసరమనేటువంటిది గీత నిర్ణయపరుస్తూ వచ్చింది.
గీత హ్యాస్ ఎక్స్పౌండెడ్ దట్ ఫర్ మ్యాన్స్ హ్యాపీ లైఫ్ దెర్ ఇస్ నీడ్ ఫర్ వన్ సైడ్ శ్రద్ధ, అనదర్ సైడ్ ఫ్రీడమ్ ఫ్రమ్ ఆల్ డౌట్స్.
That was the first clip of that discourse delivered on 26th of May. Again, a beautiful padyam to start with, a couple of padyams to start with this time.
Mm-hmm.
And Swami is emphasizing on the idea of purity of mind. You know, that's interesting because he's talking about the buddhi,
mm-hmm.
but he's talking of purity of mind.
Mm-hmm.
Bringing in the idea how intellect is essential for purity of mind.
Correct.
And then Swami sees, speaks about see no evil, speak no evil.
Mm-hmm.
Again, bringing in the idea how that intellect is most essential to do that discrimination between good
Correct.
And bad,
Correct.
Right and wrong.
And how we learnt in the previous discourse about the three faults of the mind.
Exactly. You know, the way you said it's like a syllabus which Swami is going through, you know, proved so far and it takes on from
That's
there.
Proven. That is mala, vikshepa and avarna.
Right.
So mala is like the dust and the dirt on the mind, yeah. and mala vikshepa is unsteady mind,
the waveringness.
Waveringness, and avarna is like a thick cloth put
on the mind.
Yeah.
Right. And you know, we were talking about Swami saying purity of mind
mm-hmm.
confers all the power.
Mm-hmm.
I can't but recall that incident. I think we've narrated it many times before and played it. On the radio mm-hmm. about Swami having a arm wrestling match
That's
with one
true.
Of the students.
That's true.
You know, very graphically, Swami has with one of the strongest looking students there.
Yes.
And he is not able to defeat Swami. Then four other students jump in and all gymnasts.
Yeah.
They try to arm wrestle Swami and defeat him.
Mm.
And in a moment, Swami, you know, pulls down all of them.
Yes.
And around that time, everybody is looking and Swami, it's so obvious you are after all divine. Mm-hmm. What is the surprise that you've been able to do it?
Mm.
And the next statement Swami said was, I have not used my divine power.
Yes. Purity is, yeah.
He says, I have not used one bit of my divine power. And Swami said, the power which you saw now,
mm-hmm.
has what you've seen is not a single bad thought has crossed this mind. Ever since this
power
body came into the...
Same thing Swami says about Trikarana Shuddhi.
Right.
And purity of thought, word and deed. And he materializes a ring and gives it to the boy. He says, you can also do this.
Okay.
Provided you have Trikarana Shuddhi. Alignment and coordination of thought, word and deed. Imagine that purity can take us to that level.
You know, talking of this arm wrestling, it is something of common occurrence when Swami would stand on the veranda and you know, boys are taking namaskar, Swami's namaskar, paad namaskar, and some boys want to get extra grace,
mm-hmm.
so they put their hands under Swami's feet,
right.
and Swami also is standing there and speaking to all the boys as if nothing has happened, and he adjusts, you know, he lifts his feet a little bit. And then the boys put their, I mean, so how uncomfortable it must be. But Swami is with so much of love, he just lifts his feet and then boys put their hands under Swami's feet. But once in a while, he just presses the last toe, the small
right.
toe, he just presses it down. Boys can't remove their
right.
hands from under his feet because it's so strong. I mean, physical body gains so much strength. because of purity of the mind.
It would be very interesting that you said that, because I remember another thing which one of the staff here once was sharing with me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Swami would stand for 45 minutes to 1 hour.
Exactly.
At one spot.
Exactly.
And talk. Mm. So what Swami used to do is shift his weight from one feet to the other.
Uh-huh.
So that is the time when Swami would lift his feet a little.
Okay.
And that's when boys would slip their hands under Swami's feet.
Mm-hmm.
One occasion, you know, there was one professor who was seeing this. You know,
mm-hmm.
He had newly joined the university, who was seeing this
mm-hmm.
beautiful sight of the children putting their hand. And Swami, knowing that somebody's put their hand, Swami would put his feet on it mm-hmm. and give them that pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
So he had the desire to once put his feet under, you know, put his hand under Swami's feet.
Mm-hmm.
So one day when Swami sat and stood in front of him and was talking to boys around him, when Swami did that, you know, shifting this weight mm-hmm. from one feet to other, he slipped his hand slowly.
Mm-hmm.
And Swami put his feet down and felt somebody's hand, looked in it. He saw that it was this professor's hand.
Mm.
For some reason, maybe Swami wanted to show respect because he's a professor among students. For students, it's a different thing.
Mm.
And it seems Swami lifted his leg.
Yeah.
And he said for the next 45-50 minutes, Swami stood in that same pose. On one feet, with one leg, 1 feet a little raised, so that it doesn't touch his hand.
Oh my God.
And you know, the same Swami who could put that much pressure on the hand could even do this.
That's beautiful.
You know,
that's
the power
beautiful.
Of purity.
And control, I mean.
Control, that's
control,
the word.
Control,
right?
What control over the... And that, of course, you know, you need not go anywhere else to see control over the senses, because when you are ignored by Swami in the darshan line, you know how much control he has over his vision. He will come all the way till you and then jump you. And then go on with the next person. Every sense organ, Swami had perfect control, and that means his life is his message that way.
Mm.
But this aspect of purity of the mind, giving so much strength to the physical body, is just amazing.
Yeah. Even Christianity believes in this purity, you see. Purity of the heart, they say.
Mm-hmm.
Blessed are the pure in heart, Jesus said in the sermon.
Correct.
For they shall see God.
Mm.
That is the only sentence where he says they shall see God.
Mm.
And other, he said, blessed are the meek and blessed are the poor and all that, but not for seeing God,
mm-hmm.
for inheriting the earth and for going to other happier places and all. Purity of the heart is what is stressed in all the religions.
Correct.
Purity of mind and purity of heart, I think Swami means the same thing here when he says...
I mean, when you're talking about charioteer here, Buddhi a charioteer, I can't help but recollect Sanatana Sarathi. Mm-hmm. I mean, how mm-hmm. Swami gave the name, how apt and how powerful the name is. Sanatana possibly could stand even for Sanatana Dharma. I don't know.
Eternal.
Maybe. Because it's eternal. Sanatana. And Sarathi is the charioteer. And the Swami named the magazine Sanatana Sarathi way back in 1958.
Right.
I think February Shivratri 1958 was the first episode.
Okay.
First issue of Sanatana Sarathi.
Mm-hmm.
And it has been going on ever since. How beautiful.
Mm. Krishna also played the role of the charioteer. See, that was so important.
And that's the... I mean, there's so much beauty in that mm-hmm. title itself.
Yeah.
Sanatana Sarathi.
You know, it's just a random thought. Krishna played the role of a charioteer, okay?
Mm.
Because he is playing a role. I mean, Atma is just there. Atma is, and I don't know what role Atma plays. Atma is.
Yeah.
But anything that plays a role, when God himself wants to play a role, the next purest level is the Sarathi. The Buddhi.
The Buddhi. Next to the Atma.
Right.
Next to the Atma.
I think that's exactly what Swami is coming to say in some of these discourses,
mm-hmm.
where he says the closest... of the four aspects of the mind.
That's true.
To the, we'll come to that later. But again, before he goes on, Swami is making a definition of the buddhi.
Mm-hmm.
He uses that Sanskrit phrase.
Nishayatmaka buddhi.
Nishayatmaka buddhi.
One small thing.
Yes,
see, in that war, Mahabharata, the charioteer plays a very important role.
Correct.
Arjuna had Krishna as the charioteer.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Karna had that other charioteer who was very negative minded.
Shalva.
Salya or Salva? So something and something.
Like one of the kings.
And he was negative all through, and Karna was probably affected by that. See, and he
was forced into the camp of Kauravas.
Yes.
Mm.
And that was...
he lost that battle because of his chariot to a great extent.
Hmm.
That's what we were saying the Nisyatmika Buddhi, which is that which has the capacity to make decisions.
Correct.
To choose between one, two or three of choices which are there. And you know, it's very interesting. Swami is talking about that, and then Swami is coming to the concept of Samshayatma Vinashati. That if you have doubts, you perish. And then saying, connecting these two, the Buddhi is the one which can actually remove doubts. And Samshayatma Vinashati is something which you have to avoid. The doubts are something which you have to avoid. So that which breaks down these doubts and gives you clarity is the Buddhi.
That's true. I mean, that which is not associated with Buddhi, it gives rise to doubts.
So
look at it that way.
Right.
So if you are having a doubt, then obviously you are not, that particular thought is not in tune with Buddhi.
Right.
And
and then Swami goes on to talk about how Gita says that there are two banks to this river which will lead you to your goal. The two Ashtakshari mantras. So Swami says, Shraddhavan Labhate Jnanam and
Samshayatma Vinashyate.
Talking of Buddhi, I mean, like in Indian, you know, in Sanatana Dharma, everything has a symbolism. Like you say, Ganesha, Lord Ganesha is a removal of all obstacles. And he has Buddhi and Siddhi as his two wives.
Right.
I mean, what could be the inner significance? Because Buddhi is supposed to give you clear clarity. It's supposed to give you clarity of vision of the Atman. So, and Lord Ganesha is said to be the remover of all obstacles. So, I think in some way Lord Ganesha and Buddhi are connected. I know, maybe we should read more about it. It's just a thought.
Exactly, I think we should. Because Swami always says that Vinayaka is Buddhi Pradayaka.
Correct.
Swami often says. And even this word Shraddha, I think it's a very deep word. Because even as we know it, it has two meanings. One is earnestness, the other is faith.
Correct.
Right. And here in this context, actually Swami uses both. Swami says faith and doubt.
Doubt is the opposite of faith here.
And later he's saying that it is the will to do something. It is that drive.
Correct.
And in fact, you know, one of my teachers were telling me, Shirdi Baba used to say, Shraddha and Saburi. In most places, it is interpreted as faith and patience. But he said, if you take it as earnestness and patience, it is like you have a drive, you have a push to do something, but you're also patient.
Beautiful.
And he said that brings in the message of Gita. You do it with full earnestness, but you're not interested in what the result is.
Very beautiful.
Said that is what actually Shri Baba taught, Shraddha and Saburi. You want, but you're not worried whether it is given to you or not.
Even in Nisargadat Maharaj's, I am that. That's all he says. What should I do? People like, be earnest in seeking. They say, no, kaschit dhiraha. So a person who is determined and who wants to take up this path, and the moment he is earnest, then he goes forward.
Absolutely. And in fact, you know, that is one thing that is in connection which is there in this, where Swami is saying Shraddha and doubts, you know, earnestness and the ability to give up doubts. Because later Swami says, the most important thing about the Buddhi is able to make that decision being non-attached. You know, that will come only when you're earnest.
That's true.
When your focus is absolutely on, you know, whether it is pleasant or unpleasant, I have to go to what is right. That earnestness, that will come only when, you know, I think that's later in the discourse.
Just a slight deviation, not be exactly. Swami says, for success, six qualities. Utsaham, sahasam, dairyam, buddhi, shakti, parakramam. See, so utsaham, that is enthusiasm, and sahasam is bravery. All these are attributes of earnestness in a sense. Because that earnestness to go forward, that earnestness to seek, includes these various attributes.
In fact, no, interpreting sahasam otherwise, it's also called the adventurous spirit.
Exactly.
You know, the desire and the drive to go to that which is not seen.
He says, utsaham, sahasam, dairyam, buddhi.
Buddhi.
Shakti, parakramam. Parakramam. I mean, the words are so, if you're going in for a war. It's like, as if, but this is what is required in daily life.
intrepid, that word is there. That stands for courage and adventure.
Okay.
The intrepid manner. But that all applies here actually.
So, should we go on to the next clip?
Yes, should we go to the second clip in that discourse?
Yeah.
ఈ బుద్ధికి మరి అనేక పేర్లు కూడా ఉంటున్నవి.
దిస్ ఇంటెలిజెన్స్ బుద్ధి హ్యాస్ డిఫరెంట్ నేమ్స్.
దీనికి అంతర్వాణి అని మరొక పేరు.
అనదర్ నేమ్ ఫర్ దిస్ ఈజ్ ఇన్నర్ వాయిస్.
ఈ అంతర్వాణిని పురస్కరించుకునియే మానవుడు కొంతవరకు తమ జీవిత మార్గమును అనుసరిస్తూ ఉంటాడు.
మ్యాన్ ఫాలోస్ టు ఏ గ్రేట్ ఎక్స్టెంట్ following the dictates of this inner voice.
Samasyalu chelayaginappudu antarvani yokka sambandhamaina jababunu kosam kaachukoni untadu.
Man waits for the answers coming from the inner voice whenever he faces problems.
Tana antarvaniye santruptiya lekundina taanu santruptini maatram kodanu prakatinchaledu.
If his inner voice does not give him satisfaction, no other external satisfaction can give him real satisfaction.
ఇది అంతర్వాణి సంతృప్తిగా ఉండినా తాను బాహ్య సంబంధమైన జగత్తునందు కూడాను సంతృప్తిని ప్రకటిస్తాడు.
ఇఫ్ హిజ్ ఇన్నర్ వాయిస్ ఆర్ హిజ్ కాన్షియన్స్ ఇస్ హ్యాపీ దెన్ హీ విల్ ఎక్స్ప్రెస్ ద సేమ్ హ్యాపీనెస్ ఎక్స్టర్నలీ.
అదే మనం నిత్య జీవితంలో ఉపయోగపెట్టుంటాం. నా కాన్షియన్స్ నాకు తృప్తిగా లేదు, నా కాన్షియన్స్ దీనిని ఒప్పుకోవటం లేదు అంటారు. అనగా ఏమి? అంతర్వాణి అనగా కాన్షియన్స్.
When you say antarvani, it is conscience. In the common parlance also, we'll be coming across statements, my conscience is not happy. I am not satisfied with what my conscience is.
Kanuka motta motta, follow the master annam. Nee master evaru? Ide antarvaniye, nee conscience e nee master.
In the statement, follow the master, who is the master referred to? It is the conscience.
ఈ కాన్షియన్స్ ను అంతర్వాణిని మనం అనుసరించినప్పుడు సరైనటువంటి స్థాయిని మనం చేరుకోగలము.
If you can follow the conscience properly, you can reach the proper stage.
అయితే ఈ బుద్ధికి ఇంకొక పేరు కూడా ఉంటున్నది.
There is one more name for this బుద్ధి, intelligence.
దీనికి విజ్ఞానము అని కూడాను చెప్పగలరు.
For this విజ్ఞానము or wisdom.
ఈ విజ్ఞానం అన్నటువంటిది బాహ్య సంబంధమైన విషయంలో మాత్రమే విమర్శించి విచారణ కలిపి నిర్ణయానికి తెస్తుంది.
దిస్ విజ్ఞానము ఆర్ ది ఎక్స్టర్నల్ విజ్డమ్ ఓన్లీ డిసైడ్స్ థింగ్స్ రిలేటింగ్ టు ఎక్స్టర్నల్ వరల్డ్.
అయితే బుద్ధి అంతర్ సంబంధమైన సమస్యలను తీర్చి తద్వారా ఒక నిర్ణయానికి తీసుకుని వస్తుంది.
ఇంటెలిజెన్స్ సాల్వ్స్ ప్రాబ్లమ్స్, ఇంటర్నల్ ప్రాబ్లమ్స్ అండ్ helps you to come to certain decisions.
కనుకు దీనికి సరైనటువంటి విజ్ఞానం అని చెప్పటము సరైనటువంటి ఒక పేరు కాదు.
Therefore, this word విజ్ఞానం is not appropriate to describe intelligence.
ఈ విజ్ఞానం అన్నటువంటిది బాహ్య సంబంధమైనటువంటి లౌకిక భౌతిక జగత్తునకు సంబంధించినటువంటిది.
This word విజ్ఞానం is applicable to the physical world, the external world.
బుద్ధి అంతర్ సంబంధమైన సూక్ష్మ స్వరూపమైన తత్వానికి సంబంధించినటువంటిది.
ద ఇంటెలిజెన్స్ ఈజ్ అసోసియేటెడ్ విత్ ద ఇన్నర్ వరల్డ్ విచ్ ఇస్ సట్లర్.
కనుక ఈ బుద్ధి యొక్క తత్వాన్ని చక్కగా గుర్తించుటకు ప్రయత్నించడం అత్యవసరము.
దేర్ ఫార్ ఇట్ ఈస్ నెసెసరీ టు అండర్స్టాండ్ ద ప్రిన్సిపల్ అండ్ ద నేచర్ ఆఫ్ ఇంటెలిజెన్స్.
అయితే మధ్య మధ్య ఈ బుద్ధిని కూడాను అహంకారం ఆవరిస్తూ ఉంటుంది.
సమ్ టైమ్స్ this intelligence is enveloped by ego.
శరీరమున కంటే ఇంద్రియములు సూక్ష్మమైనటువంటివి గాను
senses are subtler than the body.
ఈ ఇంద్రియముల కంటే మనస్సు మరింత సూక్ష్మమైనటువంటిది గాను
mind is subtler than the senses.
ఈ మనస్సు కంటే బుద్ధి అత్యంత సూక్ష్మమైనటువంటిది గాను
intelligence is more subtle than the mind.
బుద్ధి కంటే ఆత్మ అనంత సూక్ష్మమైనటువంటిది గాను
Atma is infinitely subtler compared to all these things.
నిర్ణయించవచ్చు.
We can decide this very conclusively.
అయితే ఇట్టి సూక్ష్మమైనటువంటి బుద్ధికి అహంకారం ఆవరించినదనగా అహంకారం అనేటువంటిది బుద్ధి కంటే సూక్ష్మమైనటువంటిదిగా మనం నిరూపించాలి.
When you say that intelligence is enveloped by ego, ఈగో మస్ట్ బి సట్లర్ దాన్ ఇంటెలిజెన్స్.
ఈ అహంకారం అత్యంత సూక్ష్మమైనటువంటిది.
ఈగో ఈజ్ ఎక్స్ట్రీమ్లీ సటిల్.
సర్వత్రా ప్రవేశిస్తుంది.
ఇట్ ఈజ్ ఫౌండ్ ఎవ్రీవేర్.
సర్వ కర్మలు యందు కూడాను ప్రవేశిస్తుంది.
ఇట్ ఎంటర్స్ ఇంటూ ఎవ్రీ యాక్షన్ ఆఫ్ యువర్స్.
కనుకనే మానవుడు ఈ యొక్క అహంకారమును దాటి ఆత్మను చేరలేకపోతున్నాడు.
దట్ ఈస్ ది రీజన్ వై మ్యాన్ హాజ్ నాట్ బీన్ ఏబుల్ టు కాంకర్ దిస్ ఈగో అండ్ రీచ్ ఆత్మ.
ఒకనొక రాజు ఒక పెద్ద సమావేశంలో గావించి అందులో గొప్ప గొప్ప శాస్త్రజ్ఞులను పండితులను ఆహ్వానించాడు.
వన్ కింగ్ కాల్డ్ ఎ బిగ్ అసెంబ్లీ ఆఫ్ పండిట్స్ అండ్ స్కాలర్స్ అండ్ ఇన్వైటెడ్ ఆల్ ఆఫ్ దెమ్.
ఈ సమావేశంలో ఈ మహారాజు ఒక ప్రశ్నను వేశాడు.
దిస్ కింగ్ పుట్ ఎ క్వశ్చన్ టు ది పార్టిసిపెంట్స్ ఇన్ దట్ అసెంబ్లీ.
ఇంత వేదశాస్త్ర ఇతిహాస పురాణముల యొక్క ప్రమాణములను ప్రత్యక్ష రూపకంగా గోచరింపజేసి అనుభవించి ఆనందించి జగత్తుకు అందించినటువంటి ఓ పండిత వర్యులారా,
ఓ గ్రేట్ స్కాలర్స్ హూ హ్యావ్ మాస్టర్డ్ ద వేద శాస్త్రాస్ ఇతిహాసాస్ అండ్ వేరియస్ స్క్రిప్చర్స్ అండ్ హూ హ్యావ్ ఎంజాయిడ్ ఆల్ దీస్ థింగ్స్.
ఈ సమావేశంలో కూడినటువంటి ఈ మహా అదృష్టవంతులలో ఎవరు మోక్షమును చేరగలరు అని ప్రశ్నించారు.
The question continued, among all those people who have assembled here, who has the power to reach moksha, liberation?
Aite, ee panditulu, aneka panditya galiginatunte vaaru ainappatikini, deeniki dhairyanga, sahasanga, jababunu cheppadaniki sahasinchaledu.
These scholars who have assembled have no doubt scholarship, but they did not dare come out with an answer for the question of the king about liberation.
ఆ సమావేశంలో సభ అంతా కూడా స్తంభించిపోయింది.
దేర్ వాస్ పర్ఫెక్ట్ సైలెన్స్ అండ్ స్టిల్నెస్.
శబ్దంగా ఉండినటువంటి ఆ యొక్క శబ్దములు, ఒక సామాన్యమైనటువంటి వ్యక్తి లేచి, మహారాజా నేను పోతే పోవచ్చును అన్నాడు.
ఇన్ దట్ గ్రేట్ అసెంబ్లీ వేర్ దేర్ వాజ్ పర్ఫెక్ట్ సైలెన్స్ దేర్ వాజ్ వన్ లోన్ వాయిస్ ఫ్రమ్ ఎన్ ఆర్డినరీ మ్యాన్. Well, O king, I may be able to reach
panditulakandariki maha asuya kalirindi. Ye shastramu, ye itihasamu, ye puranamu, ye bhagavad gita, ye brahma sutramu, yemi telinatundi samanya manavudu.
All these scholars who were assembled were jealous of this ordinary man who dare answer that he would go to liberation as he has not mastered or studied ఎనీ ఆఫ్ ది స్క్రిప్చర్స్ భగవద్గీత వేద ఉపనిషత్ బ్రహ్మసూత్ర ఆర్ ఎనీథింగ్ లైక్.
ఎట్టి సాధనా సంపత్తిని కూడా ఎరుగునటువంటి ఈ పామరుడు,
దిస్ పర్టికులర్ పర్సన్ హూ హాజ్ నాట్ అక్వైర్డ్
నేను పోతే పోవచ్చునని చెప్పిన ధైర్యంగా చెబుతున్నాడే, ఇతనికి ఎక్కడి నుంచి వచ్చింది ఈ ధైర్యం? దేనిని బట్టి చెబుతున్నాడు? దీని యొక్క అంతరార్థం ఏమిటి అని వారిలో వారు చాలా గుసగుసలు ప్రారంభమైనాయి.
హౌ డేర్ దిస్ జెంటిల్మెన్ డిక్లర్ దట్ హీ మే బి ఏబుల్ టు reach liberation when he has not done anything like that. They began questioning among themselves and whispering among themselves about the foolhardiness of this gentleman.
Maharaju aa vyaktini chenta cherchi, nayana ye aadharamna puraskarinchukoni neevu nenu pothe povochunani palikavu, inta manchi panditara varil lopala idi panditulu avamana pachinattu kada?
King called that gentleman nearer and just told affectionately, well, on what basis can you say that you can reach liberation? Is it not putting all these scholars to shame?
Maharaja, chaminchani. Nenu pote povachu anetundi antarathamlo, nenu anetundi aham pote povachu anetundi yokka bhavame deeni yokka bhavam annadu.
He said, well, Maharaja, when I said that I may nenu pote povachu, that means if I go I may go.
Aham 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 nenu anetundi oka aham. Ee aham aakaram tho koodatam cheta idi ahankaranga mari poyindi.
When he said that if I go, that referred to the ego. He meant that if ego goes, one can go to liberation.
Kanukane dehatma bhavam poyinappude మోక్షమునకు అర్హుడవుతాడు అనేటువంటిదే దీని అంతరార్థం అన్నాడు.
ద ఇన్నర్ మీనింగ్ ఆఫ్ దాట్ వాస్ దాట్ ఇఫ్ బాడీ కాన్షియస్నెస్ ఇస్ లాస్ట్ అండ్ ఇఫ్ ఈగో ఇస్ డిస్ట్రాయ్డ్,
మానవుని ఎందుకు కూడాను ఈ దేహాత్మ భావము దేహ తాదాత్మ్యం పొందినప్పుడే ఇది అహంకారంగా రూపొందుతుంది.
When a person identifies himself with his body, then he develops ego.
కనుక ఈ అహంకారం ఉండినంత వరకు కూడాను బుద్ధి కూడాను ప్రకాశించదు.
As long as one suffers from ego, one's intelligence will not shine.
కనుక మొట్టమొదట బుద్ధిని ఆవరించినటువంటి అహంకారాన్ని నిర్మూలం గావించడానికి తగిన కృషి చెయ్యాలి.
Therefore, in the first instance, we should make efforts to destroy ego which envelops intelligence.
Swami is stopping off in a very excruciating point. He says that ego has to be controlled, but we'll have to wait till next week to see how that can be done.
Like Swami says, no, the heart is a one-seat chamber. You either have the ego there or you have God residing there. Both can't reside.
Right.
So that's
it. See, the last sentence where Swami said, no, ee ahankaram, to remove this ahankaram, tagina krishi cheyali. That krishi, that effort, is what is earnestness.
Right.
No?
Right.
That earnestness and that to make that effort to subdue your ego.
I think Krishna says, no, self-effort is supreme, somewhere in his Bhagavad Gita.
Mm-hmm.
Self-effort is supreme.
So he starts this segment of the discourse with another definition for buddhi,
right,
that is antarvani.
And it's a very beautiful definition, because that brings a little bit of perspective of what buddhi is.
Mm-hmm.
Because conscience is something which we all encounter.
Mm-hmm.
A pricked conscience or a conscious decision when you go by your conscience.
Mm-hmm.
So whereby Swami calling it antarvani.
Mm-hmm.
Intuition also is another.
Right.
It comes from.
But you know, you wonder often, you know, when you see somebody apparently bad,
mm-hmm,
do they still have the conscience? I mean, can the conscience be killed altogether? That's
mm-hmm
something which you wonder. Because definitely somebody who is doing harm must have absolutely obliterated the idea of conscience itself.
So his buddhi is completely shrouded.
Is it possible? You know, shrouded or annihilated altogether? Is that possible at all?
I don't think fully possible, because this lie detector test, you know, that is how they get
right
the person telling lies.
Mm-hmm.
When it's telling a lie, there is a change in his mental makeup, because
right
that feeling, fear and other things come in, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how they catch him, the sensitive
mm-hmm
instruments.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and, you know, going by examples which we have from our scriptures,
mm-hmm,
I think all those people like, let's say, Ratnakara or
Angulimala,
mm-hmm, or even somebody like King Ashoka,
mm-hmm,
you know, they've all people who at some point that conscience which was ignored for long just came by to
take
over.
Up again.
Right? You know, when mm-hmm in a very, very powerful moment,
mm-hmm,
it comes and takes over. So I think it is, as I was saying, that it is always there. It can never be removed at all.
I mean, think of this whole process of sharpening your intellect or praying to God to sharpen your intellect. That's what Gayatri Mantra is all about.
Right.
Dhiyo Yona Prachodayat. I think the Gayatri Mantra is so complex and it's so vast. The subject is so vast. Obviously, we can't cover that and we need to learn ourselves more about it. But Dhiyo Yona Prachodayat is something which Swami has always said. If you chant Gayatri Mantra, your intellect will get sharpened.
Right.
You will have a sharp intellect. And
what he means is, I think you will reach that inner voice and conscience and other things more easily with
mm-hmm
the sharpened intellect,
mm-hmm,
because there is purity also coming in.
Yeah, this Gayatri Mantra is something very, very vast, and how it is connected to buddhi. And I hope in this discourse or the next discourse, Swami will touch upon it.
In fact, you know, so many ways Swami has emphasized the importance of Gayatri Mantra, especially in this aspect of a sharp intellect.
Correct.
To many people, you know, Swami
mm-hmm
has told, even to students.
Yes.
Swami said, you chant Gayatri Mantra, it will mm give you stability, it will give you the power to discriminate,
mm-hmm,
Swami has told.
Mm.
It will give you memory power. That is, of course, a known thing.
Swami was just in the darshan line, as when Vedam chanting was going on, I was also chanting along with the Vedam. Swami came and looked at me and he said, Chappu ra, Vedam chappu, artham telusukuni chappu. Know the meaning and then chant the Vedam. So, Gayatri Mantram, yes, like it's like taking a medicine. You just take the medicine, it has its own impact on you. But if you know the meaning, if you understand the meaning and then take it, possibly the you feel the impact stronger. You know, you really go faster towards the goal. So we need to study about Gayatri Mantra.
Yeah, Professor Haldane, no, from USA, I think, university. He has done research on this Gayatri sounds when you chant, you know.
Okay.
And he has said this mantra should be written in the halls of all the scientific laboratories of the world.
Oh.
Yes.
Amazing.
That is the kind of powerful influence it has on the mind.
Mm-hmm.
Professor Haldane. Mm-hmm. I think he was a... He didn't get the Nobel Prize, but he was one of the people who was sponsored for it.
Mm-hmm.
He has done a lot of research on this in the 70s, 60s.
Then Swami goes on to say about Vijnana.
Yeah, but before that Swami makes another beautiful point where mm-hmm. he says, when I say follow the master,
mm-hmm.
the master who is being referred to is that inner voice.
Mm.
So Swami is saying that master stands for your conscience.
Conscience. And you know, when we were in school, when he spoke to us as school children, when he spoke to us in smaller groups, he says, before doing anything, just think, will Swami like this or not? Before doing an action, think whether Swami will approve this or not. So here, directly, Swami becomes our conscience. And Swami is our conscience. So the voice of Swami, so he made it very simple for us. I mean, now that you think of it, right from primary school and from through higher secondary school, we are somehow take it so naturally that the same Swami who is standing in front of us is also inside us.
Right.
The same Swami is inside us and the same Swami is you know, standing in front of us. Now, yes, he is not physically standing in front of us, but he is within us. And so in that way Swami taught us, just think, will this action, will Swami approve this action or not? And then,
actually,
instead of thinking of an abstract buddhi, thinking of Swami, there is so much of love.
In fact, you know, even if you think of buddhi, the final understanding is that which you're going to come, that this buddhi, this atma, everything
is Swami. Is that's
Swami.
It.
Right.
Swami is the outer projection of the inner conscience of man. You know,
true.
It's only the external vision of it. The inner vision is the same as that external vision. So whatever it tells us, it becomes our conscience only.
That's true.
Then coming to, as you were saying, Vijnana.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what even sir was mentioning in the beginning, that there is that worldly intellect
mm-hmm.
and that which is the higher intellect.
Mm-hmm.
I think sometimes Swami uses the word Prajnana.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
You know, Vijnana and Prajnana.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes Swami says Sugnana also, mm-hmm. the good intellect.
Correct.
Prajnana, I am reminded of, you know, one
awareness. Prajnana Brahmam is also
right.
One of the Mahavakyas.
Yes. Yeah. I am reminded of one beautiful thing one of my, one visiting faculty once told us.
Mm-hmm.
We were having this symposium on environment.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, protecting the environment through scientific education.
Okay.
That was the theme. And of course, in the chemistry department, it was all about treating waste and
mm-hmm.
pollution and how to reduce pollution. So I think that was the final session
mm-hmm.
when all the whistling faculties and guests were making their concluding remarks.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when this person came and told this very profound thing. He said, see, we are all trying to handle the situation through Vijnana. Vijnana also means science.
Yes.
Mm. He's saying we're all trying to handle it through Vijnana, but actually the solution is in Prajnana.
Oh, okay.
He said, because the messes we cause because of Vijnana, it cannot be solved by Vijnana. It was because it is through Prajnana.
Mm.
And then he said, how do we understand it is through Prajnana?
Mm.
He said, Swami has given the answer.
Mm.
Swami says, Prabhu darsha bina prajnana nahi. He says, the moment you see God in the nature, okay, the problem can be solved.
Beautiful, very yeah. beautiful, very beautiful.
Wonderful.
This also, you know, links the individual, society, nature and God.
Right.
The hierarchy that Swami often tells.
No, that is correct. See, you see so many brilliant scientists in the West and other places who are agnostic, atheistic and all that. But they have a very brilliant mind and they have developed that to a great extent.
Correct.
But their lifestyle, if you see, it may not be the pure lifestyle which we recommend for spiritual life and all.
Mm-hmm.
So they remain only at that Vijnana level or mm-hmm. they are not able to go to the Prajnana level, what I feel.
I think, you know, that also shows the lack of earnestness.
Okay.
You know, you are shutting yourself
mm-hmm.
to one, maybe they may not be there. Mm. I mean, I'm telling from their point of view,
mm.
the existence of God.
Mm.
But they are just denying that possibility at all completely.
No, it's absolutely unscientific.
Unscientific.
Yeah, it's absolutely unscientific, because if you're really a scientist, you have to be open. You have to explore. I mean, the greatest of scientists like Einstein was a definite believer in God.
And the history of science is that we have made mistakes and we have discarded bad theories and found new theories.
One thing is, these scientists are so dedicated and they have become so great also because they have innate purity of mind and heart. Otherwise, they cannot reach that state of excellence, you know.
So yeah, I mean, their buddhi is really sharp and they have reached that. If you think of it, yes, science has progressed over all these decades. But you take Indian, sages. To what extent astrology, and to what extent, you know, they say predictions about seeing the position of stars and taking your birth star and time when you're born, numerology, and all this. Isn't it another great development in science? I mean, it's...
Without telescope, microscope.
Without telescope.
The mind itself becomes the most sensitive instrument. And that they are able to gauge all the...
No, I mean, that level of scientific achievement, like astrology and everything, comes out from, you know, just the position of stars and the steady. Their buddhi went that way. So,
reminded of once something what my father once shared. There was a commentary on the Ramayana by a Western author.
Okay.
So he says that if Ramayana really happened, it's amazing. You know, such a beautiful story has happened. But he said if it has not happened and it's just a fictional story, then either hats off to the person who's written it, because way back in so many years ago, he actually has given such a perfect geography of that whole subcontinent. He said even today you can trace that whole path which Rama and Lakshmana take. Because perfect description of the regions.
Okay.
He said, how can a person who can just sit in one place and write this whole story in that age of, you know, where... you don't see travel as being so progressive.
These sages are almost like saying omnipresent, omnipotent.
Right.
No travel and living channel in television. You can't ring up in mobile phone and say, hey, how is this? How send me a photo through Google. Absolutely nothing. I mean, really, our sages of yore, they turned the buddhi and it was so brilliant. And that's how they were able to come through with all this.
And coming to, again, Swami is juxtaposing buddhi with the other things here. Swami says, no, starts with buddhi, tends to be covered by the ahankara. Then he says that senses are subtler than the body. Mind is subtler than the senses.
Buddhi is still further.
Buddhi is more subtler than this and closest to the ego, atma, which is the subtlest of all. So then he's saying that if ahankara is able to cloud this buddhi, then it lies somewhere between buddhi and
atma.
And atma is even subtler than the buddhi. That's what Swami says.
That's why it is so difficult to get rid of the ego. You know?
And of course, a beautiful story.
Like we said, Swami said in the last discourse, 8 types of pride. The pride of spiritual achievement is also ego, which comes in the way. So it is subtle, so subtle.
Absolutely.
Ahankara, he says. Aham with akara, is so
the feeling of I, which is mixed with body consciousness. Akara means form. Wonderful. And there's a lovely story which Swami says here. Nenu pote povachunu.
Nenu pote povachunu.
I go,
then I may go.
I may go.
Wonderful. No, just when I was listening to the story, I was reminded of a wonderful incident which happened in old Vrindavan. You know, when the bungalow was there, the old bungalow, there was one window to that bungalow which was just beside the staircase which would lead from Swami's room to the hall below.
Okay.
So that used to be prime real estate. You know, all the boys used to fit all their faces in that window, because when Swami walks down the staircase, Swami would be almost, you know, just that window grill between Swami's face and the boy's face. And Swami would often stop there and speak a few words, sometimes make faces and, you know, crack a few jokes and a little bit of mischief. So that window used to be filled with boys' faces when Swami would come down. So one day when Swami was coming down there was this boy, an ex-student, Mr. Mayur Pandya. He was sharing this incident. He was standing there and Swami stopped, looked straight into his eyes, not in any jest on mm-hmm. that day. Swami was staring into his eyes.
Mm.
Then Swami asked him, "Hey Mayur, do you love me?"
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and he was surprised by that question. He said, "Yes Swami, of course. Of course I love you Swami." Mm. Swami said, No.
Mm.
You don't love me."
Mm.
So he started protesting. He said, "No Swami, I love you. I really love you." Then Swami said, "If you really love me, you won't even know that you love me."
Oh. Oneness.
You know what Swami is telling here, that if the I goes, I may go.
Mm.
You know, that state can actually be reached even through love. That's what Swami is saying, that if you really love me, you will not be in a position to say, "Swami, I love you."
Mm.
Well, that ahankara just goes on.
Goes away.
Like Radha's love.
Like Radha's love, because she was...
Atmanivedan is that state
of
bhakti.
That position to say that I love you, that duality of I and you vanishes in the presence of that pure love.
And when you talked about this worldly knowledge and that man who says, "If I go, I'll..." Swami has told one story I just remembered. There is a pandit who used to talk on all these things, you know, to others, and he was a great pandit also. And his milkmaid used to come with milk every morning.
Mm-hmm.
One day she is late because of the rains and floods, you know. So the pandit says, "Why have you come so late?" She says, "Because of the rains, floods, I could not cross the river across." He says, "What? You should have taken the name of the Lord and walked across the water." Because he is a great teacher, you know, he talks like that only to everybody.
Mm.
See, this maid goes back, and next day it's heavily raining, but the maid is on time giving the milk. And he says, how come you are reached so early? Yesterday it was raining, today also it's raining. You saw me, you told me, take the name of the Lord and walk on the water. I did that. That fellow got a shock of his life. He said, "You can also do it, Swami, you come with me." She said, she took his hand and took him across to that lake and said, "Take the name of the Lord, let us cross." And that fellow had so many doubts. First step he took, he sank.
You know, in one time when Swami is narrating this, Swami says that he takes the name of the Lord, but he pulls up his dhoti. And Swami says he didn't have faith.
Samshayatma.
fell into it.
Doubt is so subtle. I mean, the 100% conviction without any doubt. And doubt and fear, I mean, these go hand in hand. Why fear when I am here? When Swami says that, it means a lot.
Absolutely. Even though so many times I've thought of it, the best expression of faith can be fearlessness.
Correct.
Because the moment you have any fear, anxiety, or which are all different shades of doubt, basically.
Exactly. They say the Atman is fearless, they say. No? Right. Just because of that.
One of the speakers in Mandir were telling there are only two major emotions in the human consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
One is love, one is fear.
Mm.
He said, which way you go decides what you are. Mm. Or percentage of these two actually decide what personality you are.
In fact, in Nisargadatta Maharaj also says that desires and fears.
Fears.
Okay. He says, you're guided by desires and fears. It goes by memory. I mean, memories which are successful, which are happy for you, those bring you more desires. And memories which are not successful to you, they bring in fear. So it's all a play of the mind. It is the mind which has memories which have been good for you. They bring you more desires. They breed more desires. The memories which have not been successful, they give you fear.
And
all our actions are based either on desire or fear.
Right. And if you take in the concept of chitta, so many things are not conscious desires and fears.
Exactly.
Those are built in your mind over periods of time and over many births.
I mean, in a sense, you just see a child in that age group when they still don't know what fear is. You go and snap your finger right in front of the face of the child, he just continues smiling. I mean, that state is so beautiful.
That is a very, very beautiful anecdote in the life of Alexander the Great. I don't know if it really happened or it was a folklore which just traveled around.
Mm.
It was said that, you know, Alexander or Napoleon, one of these.
Okay.
He was sitting in the dark one day when he was a little boy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, outside his house, he was sitting in the dark. And the mother comes looking for him. Mm-hmm. And she sees this little boy sitting all by himself in the dark.
Mm-hmm.
She says, what are you sitting here all by yourself?
Mm-hmm.
Aren't you afraid?
Mm.
So he looks up to his mother and says, mother, what is it to be afraid?
Fuck.
And so the story goes, the mother decides, I have to make this boy a boy who doesn't know what fear is.
Oh.
I should never teach him what is fear. And that's what actually makes him such a great personality.
Beautiful. No?
So, I think...
Actually, I told you, I think, when I talked to Nisargadatt Maharaj about some of these things, he said, ask one question. I said, how to get rid of bondage, or what you call, rise above bondage.
Mm.
He said, since when has this ajnan, how to get rid of ajnan? Since when has this ajnan come to you? I said, why? Right from the time of birth.
Mm-hmm.
He said, oh, you are speaking the language taught to you by a mother. I speak the language you spoke before you were born. Because all these things come in dualities. You know, you are born, that means the body is born. You will die, you will grow, you are a man, you are a woman, all these name and forms we are taught right from childhood and we are conditioned for it.
Correct.
And that becomes a part of a chitta also, and we forget that we are the eternal unborn immortal selves.
Exactly. I think that's the point Swami ends this clip.
Mm-hmm.
Where Swami said, if you want to realize the Atman, you have to remove the Ahankara. And that can be achieved only by effort.
Correct.
Krishi Chayali, that's what Swami says. So, but we'll have to wait for a good 1 week before we come to know what Swami is exactly meaning by that. So that, dear listeners, brings us to the end of this episode. In a short while from now, Bishu will be joining you with the last segment, Outside, Inside, Deep Inside. This is Prem from Team Radio Sai with Sai Prakash and Suresh Rao sir signing out and wishing you a good night till you meet next week. Sai Ram and good night.